You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Held at Auckland's Altair Centre from 14th to 19th of May, the Auckland Writers' Festival Waitohi o Tamaki wrapped up last week, hosting 167 events featuring 240 local and international guests. It broke all attendance records and reported their biggest year for book sales in the festival's history. I spoke to the festival's artistic director, Lindsay Finneran, about the success and some of her personal highlights working the festival and in the program. Congratulations on the festival's success this year. It broke all attendance records and was one of the biggest year for book sales in its history. What exactly are some of the numbers we're talking about here?
Oh, first of all, thank you. It's really great to hear that. We had a record high of 85,000 attendances. That was across 167 events, 240 writers, and we sold close to 11,000 books over the course of the festival, which is 50% up on the year before.
Wow, incredible. That must feel so rewarding. What's the kind of general feeling amongst the team almost a week later now?
It's a real mix of feelings. We're all so pleased and thrilled and relieved as well. You know, there's so many moving parts to a big event. So just really pleased that all that hard work came to something really special, made something really special. We're also a little bit tired as well. It's been a really busy time in the build-up, so we're in the office now, all in our jeans, unpacking boxes, a little bit bleary-eyed, but just digesting it as well, because, you know, so much happens on the ground at the festival, you know, even in an hour or a morning or a day. And all of us have seen different bits of that festival happen as well. So we're constantly saying to each other, oh, did you see this? Or did you hear about that? So, oh my God, I had the best conversation with X. So we're all just kind of trading those stories, really. So I'm loving hearing all of that from colleagues and team members as well. You know, everyone's had a very different experience of that same festival. So we're trading stories and also moving into things like debriefs as well, you know, really celebrating success, but also looking closely at those bits that we thought, oh, you know, that could be smoother next year, or how can we build on that bit of success, you know, so trying to capture all that, because it falls out of your head very quickly once you get back into normal life. So trying to download all those thoughts and how we sort of best move forward with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so beautiful. I love that. And this was your first year directing the program as the artistic director. What was your kind of vision for the festival this year?
There were a fair few principles that I was working to. One was that it had to feel like a festival that was rooted here in Tamaki, but invited the world in. You know, I was very conscious coming in as an international director to this space that I wanted to, you know, bring in those big international names. I knew there was a real appetite and hunger for that. There was never a hierarchy in the program. You know, this is a New Zealand festival. It's celebrating the literature of Aotearoa. And so I was very keen that the big internationals coming in were really woven into the program, and that we had local and international sort of speaking together in dialogue throughout the few days. So that was really important. I wanted it to be fun as well. You know, I wanted it to be sort of intellectually rigorous and hard-hitting and cover those big issues and big ideas. But, you know, festivals have the word festive in for a reason. You know, a collection of events does not make a festival. What makes a festival is the atmosphere, the energy, the warmth. So gave a huge amount of time and focus to working out how we did that as well. So in addition to what was going on in the rooms themselves, really working closely with the team to think about how you can bring that kind of energy and animation, because the Altea Centre is such a fantastic venue, but it is, you know, a sort of a convention centre. It's big and it could feel a little bit cold to some people if it wasn't sort of programmed or brought to life in the right way. So really focusing on things like a really vibrant family program that was all completely free, that was curated by Gabriel Vincent and had a real focus on bringing books to life in a really energetic and lively way for young people. Jennifer Turk, who curated Streetside, I think she spoke to you a few weeks ago about that project. Mm. That was about bringing the sort of literary events out of the centre and into the city for one night and sort of do literary events a little bit differently, a little bit more kind of fringe style, a little bit more late night feel to those. And we have a new area on site called Corridor Corner, which is a drop-in space, and that's where you could hear sort of little short form events, you know, book recommendations. We had a session called No Stupid Questions, where you could ask questions of speakers who'd just been on, you know, big stages. So I guess what kind of unites all of those things is it's trying to make it the festival experience as lively as possible. It's also trying to make it a really unintimidating space because, you know, writers' festivals, they do have a reputation of being potentially a little bit elitist, not welcoming all types of people, all types of genres of literature either. And we just want to kind of, you know, really blow that open and make people feel incredibly welcome and have those moments, whether it was Streetside, whether it was Corridor Corner, whether it was Poker Poker Adventures, the family activities, have those kind of first steps, you know, allow people to kind of dip their toe in by not having to buy a ticket, not having to register, not having to sit in a formal room for an hour. And they've been to a book event now. They've experienced what a literary festival is. So, yeah, the blend of international and local, making it fun, making it diverse and inclusive, really honouring the core audience that have really loyally supported the festival over the years, but also thinking really hard about who isn't in that audience as yet and how we can bring them in.
Absolutely. And yeah, as you say, like the festival really tries to make sure there really is something for everyone, and I really love that. Was there an event this year that was a personal highlight for you?
Oh, there were so many. I mean, Gala Night's always a moment because we have three packed school days first, and then we have Gala Night, which sort of opens the public program of the festival. And we had a theme this year, which is Choices and Chain Reactions. And we had eight writers, both from here and all around the globe, all reflecting on that theme and telling a very personal story around, you know, a moment of choice that sort of set a chain reaction through their lives or their work. And it was just this beautiful melting pot of stories with, you know, really killer lineup. We had two Booker winners on the lineup. We had the Pulitzer winner. We also had, you know, Becky Manawatu, the Ockham winner, a US slam poet, Elizabeth Avedo, etc., all sort of woven together and, you know, being very open in front of a 2,200-seat audience. And they just knocked it out of the park. So that was such a special way to open the festival. Oh, my gosh, and I just have so many highlights. Sadly, I don't get to see everything. I sort of see 5 minutes from the back or the side of the stage, and I'm running around checking if everything's okay. Mm. But you can feel the rooms when you're there. And I also listen back to all the recordings once I get, you know, once I'm through the initial clear-up. But I think Michael Matarighi's Bennett's guest curated sessions were probably up there as my highlights. They just did really interesting things around celebrating storytelling, but not just, you know, this is a published book and we're going to talk about it. They had poets in there. They had actors in there. They did a session, and they also did a lot around kind of unpacking the creative process behind those works, which I thought was a great approach because literary festivals are often, you know, the end result of something. It's somebody, they've worked hard on a book and they're coming to talk about it in the promotion mode, and then they go back into the writing room for a few years. I think what I really admired about Michael Matarighi's programming was they just really laid bare the creative process and what went into creating those works as well. One beautiful session they did was with Troy Kingy, the musician, called A Why Arthur in an Hour, and that was in the Herald Theatre, packed 200-seat audience, but in fairly sort of intimate theatre space. And together with the audience, Troy Kingy created a live song in 1 hour, right from the title, the theme, the chords, everything. And it was just this beautiful exercise in creativity and songwriting and showing the realities of the creative process as well. I think he was going beautifully for a while and he hit a bit of a block midway through. And that was good to show. It was good to show sort of the reality of what these creators that we often see the end result of go through, tucked away in their studios or on their writing desks. So that was a real highlight for me, I have to say.
And in having the success that you had this year, the festival is now kind of entering quite an exciting new era. What might the future of the Writers' Festival look like next year and beyond, particularly regarding this growth in demand?
For me, I mean, we're in the middle of, you know, debriefs and wash-ups at the moment, so I'm really keen to get all the team's thoughts on what they felt was really special and should stay at the heart of what we do, because, as you say, it takes a village to make these festivals. For me, it's treading that line between... And it's a really hard line to tread, but it's really important. And when you do it, it's noticeable. It's running a large-scale event slickly, but that has real warmth. And that's something I never want to lose, because the biggest compliments I was getting, both from writers and from audience members, was, oh my gosh, look at all these people and look how busy this is. And oh my God, it's running so smoothly. You must be thrilled. That was all great. And music to an event manager's ears, of course. But the things that were coming through the most were people going, I just feel so welcome. Or this just feels so warm. Or everybody is so nice. Because that's the feeling you'll remember. Yes, the book sales are great. And yes, you know, people will be thrilled that they had a full audience for their session. But it's the feeling they'll remember, I think, the feeling of how they were held in that space, how they were welcomed behind the stage. We also brought in a new area this year called the Writer's Lounge, which was a backstage area purely for the authors, with, you know, a pool table and coffee and beers. And it was just a space that they could be together, both before their sessions and after, or just hang out a little bit. And watching those connections get formed behind the scenes as well, that was beautiful. So that's a long answer to say that I hope we can still deliver such a, you know, a huge and huge scale event in the slick way that we did, but that it keeps that heart and that everybody who comes through those doors, writers or audience, just feel completely welcome and really part of this just gorgeous celebration of creativity and storytelling. Mm. So these moments where you can sort of, writers can come out of the writing studio, or readers can come out of, you know, their own reading area at home, or however they consume their books, and just really celebrate those ideas. And to see writers be treated like rock stars as well, I'll never get over that thrill, you know, to see an author come out of a packed session and have a huge signing queue and everybody's so excited to meet them, because for so many months of the year, they are probably tucked away in their sweatpants, writing really hard and not seeing many people. And so just to have that public recognition for these creators that I just think are the absolute lifeblood is just, yeah, it's the biggest joy.
That was Artistic Director of the Auckland Writers Festival, Lindsay Finneran, speaking to me about the festival's success this year.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.